So how many of you have actually experienced the death of a dream? Like you maybe even achieved it and then you lost it. Well, that was my story. And this is part two of my solopreneur series here. I'm going to tell you the story of how I earned and then lost my dream job. So saddle up. It's time for 8 second rule. This is 8 second rule. Podcast about attention-based marketing where we talk about getting, holding on to, and developing the attention of your ideal audience. You've got 8 seconds. What are you going to do with it? Hey, I am Mark R. Morris Jr., the bull rider of attention-based marketing, the bull rider of semantic branding, a new term that I am trying to launch here. And today I'm going to tell you about how I managed to get into a role as a director of a theater company. And that was the ride of my life. So anyway, I just want to share that with you and encourage you that if you have experienced something like this, it doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean your life is finished. It doesn't mean there will never be a new dream. There's a lot more that the universe can unfold for you. And if you will just take it by the horns and ride it out, you may find that you really like the next part of your life past that point. All right. So without further ado, here's my story. You know, some stories are a lot harder to tell than others. And this one is really tough for me. It's tough for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's tough because it represents a business failure on my part. And that's not easy to talk about. Was caused by a lack of understanding on my part and a lack of business skills. It's also tougher because that business represented my lifelong dream. Okay. From the time I was 14 years old until I was 39, if you were looking for me, you could find me anywhere near a stage, any stage. I would be there. I would either be acting, directing, designing, constructing, teaching, performing, or just soaking in all of the above. Theater was my life. It's what I spent all of my time doing from the moment I woke up until way after I should have been in bed. And some nights I didn't sleep at all. At 24, I had been given this opportunity. I was working in the cabinet shop and a friend of mine asked me to come on board and teach acting at this theater studio that had been my home away from home when I was in my later high school years. It was called On Broadway Productions. It was here in Oklahoma City, well, a suburb north of Oklahoma City called Edmond. And it had existed under three different names for 2 decades. And it was the leader at the time in youth theater in Oklahoma City. It was the pinnacle. It was the best. If you wanted to be a young person and you wanted to be in theater, then On Broadway was the place to go. High schools didn't have the gigantic theaters and sound systems and all the things they have now. And we were the ones putting on the Broadway musicals with kids. And it was really a lot of fun. So after I taught with her for 5 years, apprenticed and learned nothing about the business side of it, to be honest, just the production side, I had an opportunity to buy the company. So with the help of some family, because we didn't really have the money, my wife and I took it over. I have to say that next to my wedding day and the birth of each of my 8 children, that was probably the proudest moment of my life. It was something I had dreamed about and I had arrived. It was exactly what I wanted to do for the rest of my time on this planet. I wanted to grow it. I wanted to expand it. I didn't want to just do youth theater, but my vision was that Oklahoma City needed a good theater company and I was going to be the guy to bring it. But here's the thing that I did not know. And had I watched the producers before I got into this mess, maybe I would have realized that theater is a horrible business investment. Terrible. It's bad. The Producers is this musical that's written about how notoriously hard it is to make money in theater. And I had heard that, but this was different. I was different. I was smarter. I was better. I was more talented. For a while, it really did look like it might work. The first 2 years in business were amazing. I mean, we took the place in double enrollment. We were selling out 1,500 seat auditoriums for two times a year for musicals and doing four full performances. So 6,000 people, you know, were coming to see every single show that we did. We were filling our summer camps to capacity without, we didn't have a waiting list. Somebody should have told me, save that money, because I didn't. And a couple years down the road, the competition came to town. So at the time that I took over, we were basically the only show in town, okay? There was a couple of other groups that were doing things, but they were very low-key. They weren't fully costumed. They didn't have sets. They didn't have music. They weren't performing live music. It was very low-key stuff, okay? So I'd been working in youth theater professionally for 7 years when someone came into my studio to offer a masterclass in auditioning. He was fresh from New York and he stole my students. Nearly all of them. I had no clue. I mean, this guy was friendly. He was offering great advice to my kids. He had this professional resume that I didn't have. I thought it was a win-win, right? He was a friend of a friend. He waltzed in there with his Broadway experience, and I'll never forget that he sang a Billy Joel song. It's about New York City, and I can't even remember the name of the song, but he was pretty good. So what I didn't know at the time was that he had a local contract with a theater company to launch their acting academy. And I had no clue. And he managed to get one of my assistant directors, a kid that was working on scholarship, to work with him to get the information he needed to steal my studio. When that studio opened, I had 128 students on my rolls. We had just finished our biggest production in the history of the company with 8 sold-out performances. We were doing Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, over 5,000 audience members. It was great. It was amazing. We just had the best time. I had commitments from the majority of these kids to come back for the spring. We were doing the Music Man. I was beyond excited. The initial season of that competing studio featured more than 80 of my former students. I'd spent years training them, nourishing them, and they were reaping the reward for the hard work with an amazing cast, because they took some of the best kids in the entire region and put them to work. And the ones that didn't go there mostly faded away because their friends weren't coming to On Broadway anymore. Overnight, I mean, almost literally, within a matter of a couple of weeks, between the end of Christmas break and our spring semester starting, we went down to 27 students. I was heartbroken. I was devastated. What had been exciting and fun became scary and hard. And if you are a solopreneur and you haven't experienced this kind of thing yet, buckle up, because you might. Okay, I don't want to say you will, I don't want to curse you, but it happens, okay? So I was still doing my carpentry stuff, and I was having to rely exclusively on that to help pay the rent at the studio and pay our bills at home. And we were failing hard. So we made plans to close the company at the end of the semester. And by the time the show was over, the performers did a great job, guys. They did a fantastic job. The show was great. It was small, but it was good. I was so depressed, I sent everybody home. I didn't even let them tear down the set. I took a day and a half to tear down the set and pack the costumes entirely alone. My wife did not even stay. I was so devastated. So something that usually took 3 hours with all hands on deck, I spent a day and a half doing this and tearing it down and getting ready to put it into the truck and take it to storage. And when we were done, I just picked up my hammer and I went back to work. I didn't have a choice. By this point, we had, I think, 3 children. And there wasn't any time for me to feel sorry for myself. Although I did. This is 25 years in the making for me, you know? To get that opportunity. I'd been dreaming about it since I was a kid. I'd been a serious actor since I was 14. I'd started actually, you know, training. That was one of the darkest moments of my life. Next to the death of my mother, it was one of the hardest things that I've ever lived through. And I'll tell you more about it in just a minute. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, Mark, come on, you started from scratch in your other business, so you could just start over, right? But to be perfectly honest, I had no hope of recovery. I had screwed up and I was just done. I mean, my family's invested money was gone. We were being evicted from the studio because we needed to pay the rent. And so my one and only venture into running a theater company that involved other teammates, because I'd done things as a kid, you know, had failed. So I was going to go work on my own, maybe an apprentice when needed. I just couldn't stand having anybody else in the position of losing their job or their beloved studio again, because I knew I had disappointed a lot of people, but it was really hard to take. But life wasn't quite done with me yet. And I'll tell you more about that in the next episode, but let's talk about what I learned from failing really hard, okay? And remember, I tell you all the time, failing is just learning. It's just another outcome. It's just another way to get to the next level, right? So things I learned. I didn't know everything, and I needed more help and advice. And I really had tried to get it on the business side. I really had. I had asked for some older guys to come and, you know, entrepreneurs to come and look at my company. I'd written up a business plan. I'd come up with a thing, you know, and I really thought I had some people who were going to mentor me and help me make it run. And that just never really happened. And so because of that, you know, it's really easy to see, okay, we have X money over what we needed to pay the bills and consider all that profit. But if you're not forecasting, if you're not paying attention to what's coming next, if you don't know what your expenses are, what your liabilities are, you're going to spend that money and you're going to wish that you hadn't. And another thing I learned was business was hard and theater probably wasn't much of a business, especially not the way that I was conducting it. Okay. I didn't have a good sense of what all that meant. I just saw more money than I had ever made and made a lot of assumptions on what I thought it took to actually get it done. One of the hardest things that I learned was the people who celebrate your success are frequently not there to support you when you have to go through learning experiences. They don't stick around because it's not fun. It's not fun to watch someone fail, especially if you cared about that person. And I'm sure that it made me angry and bitter and probably not a lot of fun to be around. But I did not die. Okay. And there's this saying that sometimes plays in my head, and I am not the best at following it. I think my dad was the one that shared it with me. It was Charles Swindoll that first said it. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. I didn't react well. I didn't lash out at everything around me like I had a few years before when my mother had died, 3 months short of her 50th birthday, but I did shut down a lot. I'd taken my shot and my dream was dead. You know, I'm here at 35, you know, and I'm looking at that and I'm going, well, I guess that's it. I guess I get to take a job like everybody else and just be average. It took months for me to realize that I had gotten the chance to do something almost no one does. I had actually lived my dream, not just for just a minute or a second or a moment, for several years, several brilliant, fun, exciting years. I was young. I could try again someday. And the next time I would be smarter and wiser. You know, I had also developed something that I had in a desk drawer. It was a secret weapon. I'll tell you about this in part three of my story. So up here in 2021, almost 20 years later, still makes me sad to think about these days, but here is how I feel. I do not regret a single second of what I did. I would try again. I'd hope to make some better choices. But if you're in a similar situation and you are having an opportunity to run your dream business, here's some things that I want to say to you, okay? Number one, make sure you know whom you can trust, okay? My rule has always been to trust everybody until they prove they cannot be trusted. But I had one friend, my former boss at the studio, who had warned me of the person that took advantage, and I did not listen. Okay. Number two, never assume that success is indestructible. It's sometimes very fragile. Okay. Even if you've built it to last, it can still take a dive because your mental capacity is 100% tied to your emotional strength and other things that you may not realize that when tough things in life happen, it's going to affect your business. But you should always be conservative with your resources when possible. I am not saying to not take chances, just know that you are taking a chance, which I did not realize because I just thought we've got 128 kids. This is going good. It's building, it's growing. It's been growing for 2 years. That's 4 semesters. We have a track record here. We've got a history here. We're doing good. It's going to work out. I had no idea, right? Failure is a part of life. And I don't even know if we should call it failure. It feels like it's final. It's learning. Just like a baby falls when they're learning to walk, you will fail. It's coming. If you haven't experienced devastation in your life yet, buckle up. It's about to get interesting. Because for most of us, and I'm not talking about having a positive attitude, okay? You can be as positive as you want to be and things can still hurt. Things can still knock you off your feet. And even if you maintain that sunny disposition, being flat on your back is still not fun, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being doom and gloom, but I'm saying that it does come into almost every life at some point, okay? And I'm not claiming that I've had more than anybody else, but for those who have shared their, shared failure with me, maybe you're there right now. I just want to say there's life after your dream, and it's good. If you keep going, it's a big world. There are more dreams out there. And the one that you have might not be over yet. All right? So, that's pretty much it for this part of my story. If you want any kind of help with any of this, if it sounds like something that you've experienced and you understand where I'm coming from, you know, leave me a message. Go find me on Anchor, anchor.fm, and look up the podcast there, 8 Second Rule. Leave me a voice message. And be sure and favorite my podcast and share it with somebody today, all right? And whatever you're getting out of this, please take it and use it and do something good with it. Make the world a better place, all right? Because what I would hate to see is I share my suffering and it drags somebody down, because that's not the point here. This is a story about survival. And in the next chapter, you're going to see I did get another chance. Spoiler alert. Sorry. There it is. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, and I will see you around. So I hope you enjoyed part two of my story. And the free tool that I am going to suggest today is a site that is run by a guy named Pat Flynn, and let me just look that up real quick because I think I know the name of it, but I want to make sure I'm getting it right. SmartPassiveIncome.com. And if you are looking for ways to build additional streams of revenue or possibly even just some advice about how to run a small business, Pat's really good at that, and he offers a ton of just free resources and things that you can pick up from his site. He also does some paid training, but I would highly recommend him because I know for a fact that he gives away about as much as he sells, and you will learn a lot from just paying attention to his stuff. So That's it for this episode, guys. Remember that you only have 8 seconds to catch someone's attention. So I hope that you will be thinking of what that's going to mean and learning how to get that attention right away so that you don't lose it and you can drag your audience in and then you get your chance to actually impact them. All right. Thanks for listening to 8 Second Rule, guys. Have a great day.